Now, what I want to do, you got pig things to practice, what are called the ANOVA decisions. I want to go through the three most common screw-ups. Because I had that math person and that chemistry person who would do the really easy stuff with you and send you home with hell, and then the exam was hell plus. No. These are the three that get screwed up the most. Let's practice them. Let's start out with a really awful statement of a research hypothesis. First graders given more practice will have better performance on their math test. I have no idea what the hell that means. Am I comparing first graders to someone else, or am I comparing more and less practice in first graders? I have no idea. That's a really crappy research hypothesis. Don't write shit like this. Very often, the way you know for sure what the hypothesis is by looking at the data set. If the data set has a practice variable and a performance variable, then the IV here must have been practice. If the data set has a grade variable and a performance variable, then the IV must have been grade. And I don't like to have to tell you this, but sometimes you don't figure out what the hell you're supposed to do until you see the data set and know what variables you actually have. We could tell, because we get the mean for the 10 group practice and the mean for the 30 group practice, that the IV here is more practice is better. And first graders is my population. The first thing we should look at is the F and the critical F, because the first thing that you should do is not look at the means. The first thing you should do is think about the significance test. Because the significance test is going to tell you what to conclude and how to feel about those means. So if I have an F of 1.23 and a critical F of 3.21, and I come back here and look, I see that if the obtained is smaller than the critical, I'm going to retain the null. So here, I'm going to retain the null. How are we doing? The next question is, do the data support the research hypothesis? Don't get in a hurry. These are two separate steps. First, you test the null, then you look at the hypothesis again, then you look at the data, then you test the research hypothesis. So when we look at it again, we see that more practice will have better performance. That's my research hypothesis. But I retained the null. When I retain the null, I'm saying that this 74.8 and this 72.4 are not different enough to conclude there's a difference between the populations. I know they're not the same mean. I know one of them is bigger than the other. I know that, in fact, the bigger one is the one they said that would be bigger, but I retained the null. And because I retained the null, there is no difference between these groups, and it does not support the research hypothesis. How are we doing? So that's the first way that people screw things up. Don't look at just the means. Do the significance test to tell you whether there's a mean difference or not. Then you can look at the means if you want to. People with a psychiatric diagnosis who receive psychotropic drugs will respond as well to talk therapy as those who don't. Will respond as well. Respond as well. That's not one group does better, and that's not the other group does better. Respond as well is equally good, right? So here, the research hypothesis is a null. Hang on to that. It says here that the F is 6.24, and the critical is 3.21, and according to back here, if the obtained is larger than the critical, we're going to reject the null. So, 6.24 is bigger than 3.21. I'm going to reject the null. Now, second, do these data support the research hypothesis? Slow down and check what is the research hypothesis. The research hypothesis is will respond as well. So the research hypothesis is a null, right? And we just rejected the null. So these data do not support the research hypothesis because the research hypothesis is a null, but we got an effect. You always have to check the research hypothesis, and you have to notice when the research hypothesis is a null. And the third one that gets boogered up the most. Doing the WebEx will improve your scores on the computational homework. Look at that p-value. Is that p-value less than 0.05? Retain or reject the null. We reject the null. That means there's a difference between the groups. We're going to conclude there's a difference between the sample groups big enough to conclude there's a difference between the population. Now, we found a difference. We hypothesized the difference. Is the difference we found in the same direction as the difference we hypothesized? WebEx will do better. Did we get what we hypothesized? No. Because even though we rejected the hypothesis, the result is backwards from what we hypothesized. These are the three most common screw-ups. All the different patterns are practiced in the pink things. There's only so many possible patterns, and what we discovered from doing about 5 or 6 years of research is that if you really want to be good at all of them, you got to practice all of them. You can't practice a couple of them and the rest of them just magically appear in your repertoire. We have to go ahead and bang on all of them and get them all to make sense. So these are the three most common ways that people make a mistake while testing a research hypothesis. One, a non-significant difference in the hypothesized direction is not support because it's a non-significant difference. Make sure you notice when the research hypothesis is a null, because if you reject the null, you're also rejecting the research hypothesis. And third, always make sure that if you have an effect, that effect really is in the direction of the hypothesis and not the opposite direction. Here then is a table that we see every time. This table lays out the possibilities of doing a statistical analysis. In the population, one of three things is true. Either group one has a bigger mean, or they're equal, or group two has the bigger mean. Those are the only three possibilities. And we do our analysis and calculate our summary statistic of an F for ANOVA, and then we get our p-value, and we decide whether to retain or reject the null. There's only three possibilities. Either p is less than 0.05 and group two did better, P is less than 0.05 and group 1 did better, or P is greater than 0.05 and we retain the null. So there are only 9 possibilities, which come in 5 types. Correct rejection, we got everything right. Correct retention, we decided there was no difference and we were right. A type 1 or a false alarm, we thought there was an effect and there isn't. Type 2, we missed an effect that was really there. And a type 3, which is always the scariest one, we got it backwards. Getting it backwards is baddest.